flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. As the Eagles season continues and we get more games, it means we get more Shiel. Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer joins us every Thursday at 3. Shiel, so good to hear your voice, even though I haven't heard it yet. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing pretty good,
man. We're all still working.
Yep.
It's late.
Wait a minute. We're going to be working anyway.
Well, I just meant us as a
Shiel
still calling
right,
yes,
right.
We're still doing a one-week hit.
Right. Shiel, let me ask you this, and try to take, well, you can't take the teams out of it. Going into a game like this, would you rather be the team that everybody thinks is the hot team or the better team?
I would rather be the better team, I think. In the NFL, hot and cold changes on a weekly basis, so I like to look at the whole sample of work, the entire regular season, what we've seen in the playoffs so far. I think that can tell you more about it. It doesn't mean it definitely will. In this case, the Commanders are coming off that big win. But if I had to answer, I would say I would rather be the team that has been better throughout the course of the season.
So let's touch on last week a little bit, and then we'll move to this game. At this point, and, you know, blah, 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 passing game struggled again. Here we are again. It's like the same conversation we've been having for 2 months. Would you agree at this point, with one and potentially two games left, that it is less about can they get the passing game right and more about can they do it the way that they're doing it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I would be shocked if all of a sudden this week or potentially in the Super Bowl we said, oh, this looks completely different than what we were talking about for those 2 months. And so I think the way they play is going to be the way they play. Now, can it look better? We've seen it look better at times this season. It's not like every game has stunk. It's not like their passing game has been one of the worst in the NFL. It's just been mediocre for most of the time. So that means you have some good games, some bad games. I can go back to that Steelers game and say, hey, that looked pretty good in that game where the ball was coming out on time. You had completion. Jalen Hurts was able to find a rhythm. We've seen in the past where they can hit on explosive plays downfield to A.J. Brown and to Devontae Smith. So it's like you've seen these little pockets of it throughout the course of the season. Now, it hasn't looked great in the playoffs. The weather was a factor last week. But, yeah, it's two games. You're looking for two games where it's good enough to get you victories. It's not about anything other than that once you get this far.
Well, even that first drive, and I forget if it was two passes or three passes, but the Eagles' first drive, which ended on the Hurts run, there were a couple of quick hitter passes in there. I forget if it was three completions or two completions, but it was there was, and they always call them early. It's just a matter of whether we hit them early or not.
Yeah, they had an under center play action, get Jalen Hurts out of the pocket, hit Dallas Goedert wide open, easy completion, 14 yards, and then I don't think they did it again the entire game, or if they did, maybe it was once or twice. So, yes, it is in there somewhere. It's in the playbook somewhere. I'm with you. It's kind of exhausting at this point to have the same old conversations about it, but it just has to be good enough for this game, and then obviously if they win in the Super Bowl.
Any concerns about the defense, Shiel? Coming off of last week, they obviously made some big plays late. Jalen Carter coming up with some forced fumbles and a sack on Matthew Stafford. But any concern with the defense off of last week's performance?
It's less about the defense probably and more about, like, you can play the play right and Jaden Daniels can still make plays. You know, facing this type of quarterback, it can be coached a certain way. And the first, whatever, 2.5 seconds of the play, you can play it perfectly and have everyone covered up, and then all of a sudden he can take off and scramble. I mean, he really might be the best scrambling quarterback in the NFL. I go back to that last matchup they had against them where they had a 4th and 11 and he scrambles, where Jalen Carter is about to, you know, sack him in a big spot and he kind of sidesteps him and takes off. So in terms of the Eagles defense, I just continue to be mostly impressed, very confident. They can win at different levels. They can win, like you said, with Jalen Carter. Their coverage is good for the most part. We'll see if any of these guys, you know, like a Quinyon Mitchell, if he doesn't play, obviously that's going to be a little bit of a concern. But to me, this specific game is more about the guy on the other side and less about, you know, do I think the Eagles defense is going to have a letdown? Because I think they're going to do what they do and play well.
Should we talk about this briefly yesterday? And you, as a, I think you're an interesting person to ask this because you are an aggressive play caller type guy. Given the extra point issues, would you consider, if you were the Eagles, going for two every time you scored a touchdown on Sunday?
Whew, that is interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I don't know what it is because you get nervous about Elliott and then all of a sudden you move it back a little bit and he's crushing yep. those field goals in the fourth quarter. So no, I don't think I would. I would kind of just cross my fingers and hope for the best and say it's not like he's missing all of his kicks. It, you know, I don't know if it's a mental thing or what. But now, I do like when you get the penalty and you move it up, and they've done this typically. I like going for two there. But no, I wouldn't change the entire thing and say, hey, we don't trust him at all to make these extra points. I mean, I don't know what it is on the season. I know he's missed a bunch, but he's probably still making, what, over 90% or whatever it is. So, you know, more likely than not, he's going to make those. Although, it is an X factor in this game. There's no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, and it could have been, you know, it was the reason the Rams were driving for the win and not the tie on Sunday, you know? So, and by the way, if he had hit those two extra points, they would have needed a touchdown and a two-point conversion. So, let me ask you this. If you could, at the end of the game, the top story on Sunday is huge game from Saquon Barkley or huge game from Jalen Carter. Which do you think would be more indicative of an Eagles win?
Huge game from Saquon Barkley or huge game from Jalen Carter. Oh, that's more indicative of it. This is a tough question. More indicative
of an Eagles win.
Eagles win.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to say Jalen Carter, I guess.
Wow.
Because you're wrecking, you know, if he's out there and he's, because that Commanders offense has been really good. That's the strength of their team. And so their defense has not been nearly as good. They got a bunch of turnovers last week, but I do think there are kind of, you know, some different avenues to having a good game offensively. It's a hard question because I still think Saquon Barkley is the main avenue to having a big game. But defensively, if you told me Jalen Carter was punching the football out and had multiple sacks and was just kind of in that game record mode like he was at the end of that Rams game, I mean, the Rams were 13 yards away and, you know, they had really a chance to score a touchdown, and he comes up with two monster plays. So if it's that type of game from Jalen Carter throughout the course of a game, by the way, going up against a backup right guard against the Commander, so it could be that type of game, I think that probably would be more indicative. I don't feel 100% about it, but that's where I landed.
Yeah, I think this game, Shield, comes down to the Eagles defense versus this Washington offense and how we can sort of limit the explosive plays from Jaden Daniels, whether it's in the running game on third or fourth down, or the plays down the field where he throws the ball with pinpoint accuracy to his wide receivers. They hit us with a couple of deep balls in that game. I remember Dyami Brown hit one over Slay up the right sideline for a deep ball. So we like to focus on Jaden Daniels' athleticism, but to me, it's his ability to stand in the pocket and make throws that scares me the most. Vic Fangio going up against Cliff Kingsbury. How do you see that matchup sort of playing out against each other?
Yeah, it might be the prettiest deep ball in the NFL right now, honestly. I mean, he had one last week against the Lions that was beautiful, and you're right. That was one of the first only games all season where you looked at the Eagles' corners and said, wait, they're allowed to give up these big plays. Like, it just hasn't happened. Quinyon Mitchell, they got him on one on the left side there with Terry McLaurin. So both those guys, Daniels is one of the only quarterbacks who came into a game against the Eagles and said, I'm not going to be fearful of taking shots deep. If those guys are out there, I'm going to take my shots with these guys. And he had a lot of success. So I think from Fangio's perspective, you know, Daniels has been excellent against the blitz this season. We saw that last week against the Lions, too, that when teams really try to throw five or six pass rushers at him, he either makes a play with his legs or, like you said, he hangs in the pocket and takes the pressure and delivers accurately. So I think Fangio will come into this game and say, let's try to win with our front four. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone, my identity, what I normally do. Let's win up front with Jalen Carter, with these backup defensive tackles who have been playing well, with Nolan Smith, and let's try to get after Jaden Daniels with our four-man pass rush so that we can play a certain way on the back end and limit those explosive plays. So I think that'll be a big part of Fangio's game plan.
Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer with us. Shiel, one more from me before we get your prediction. Is there anything from the Commanders that should give an Eagles fan pause aside from the Jaden Daniels thing that we keep talking about? Is there anything else that worries you there?
There really isn't. It's funny when you talk about it, because I do think Daniels is awesome, and I've had a lot of fun watching him this season. But if you look at it overall, again, their defense has been below average. Now, if you know, it doesn't mean they can't have a good game here. They can. If they get takeaways, they can do that. Their offensive line, I would say, is average and has an injury. They have Terry McLaurin, who is an excellent wide receiver. But other than that, it's like, you know, they have okay players, but they don't have great players at their pass catcher. So I really don't look at anything else on their roster where I say this would be the determining factor. Like, it's hard for me to come up with a scenario, unless the Eagles just play a terrible game, where they lose this game and we're not saying Jaden Daniels was awesome. Like, they need him to be Superman in this game, which he has been at times this season. But that's their one path to victory.
All right. Well, here we go. I was just telling Ike before he came on that as the week, I started off the week scared. I have grown terrified. I wanted the NFC Championship game in Philadelphia, but then I watched the friggin' Commanders-Lions game, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, I don't know. So, the official prediction from Shiel, NFC Championship game, Eagles-Commanders, Sunday, 3 o'clock. Give it to us.
I'll be honest. This is the first time I've come on, and I hadn't had the score already in my head. Normally I have to turn in my picks for The Ringer before this, but I got
Do some work, Shiel. I mean, jeez.
I'm going to do it on the fly. I'm going to do it on the fly here. I think the Eagles win this game. The Cam Jurgens injury is making me a little bit nervous, not knowing what Jalen Hurts' status is going to be and whether he's going to be an impact in the run game. That makes me a little nervous. And Jaden Daniels makes me a little nervous. However, every game this season the Eagles go into, and this will be the case in the Super Bowl, they are the more talented team. And it just feels like when they have these stretches where they're not playing well, usually it's just a matter of time until you get the Saquon run or the A.J. Brown catch or the Devontae Smith catch or the Jalen Hurts run or the Dallas Goedert catch. So many avenues to create a big play. And I think that's going to be a factor here as well. I do think they're going to have to sweat this one out, kind of like they did last week. I like Eagles 27, Commanders 23. Eagles win the game, but do not cover the Jack Fritz special.
It's also the Ike special.
Listen, you hit it last week. I wish I'd have gone with it last week. Yeah. I'm still mad about it.
All right, Shiel. Your lips to God's ears. Hope so. Thank you, Shiel.
All right, brother.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one Sunday, man.
Oh, dude, it is.
It's going to be a good one. I just wonder if I look at our defense, and it really is about Vic Fangio coming up with a scheme that slows down Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Right?
And it's about our players. And Brandon Graham has said this since the beginning of the year, and I also I know when I'm watching them what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It's not about the scheme. It's about the scheme, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's also about, especially with a quarterback like that, them sort of like playing together and connected,
yes,
and
sir,
staying, doing the job that they're supposed to be doing,
yep,
which they've done such a good job of, right? I mean, that's how, mm-hmm, that's how when one guy misses a tackle, there's another
Somebody's
guy right there. You know,
yep.
So and you have to be so disciplined against a guy like Jaden Daniels,
do.
You know?
You really do. I don't expect Vic Fangio to do a lot of blitzing. This kid welcomes blitzes. He's happy.
I think he was like last week, because they blitzed a ton.
Yeah,
I think
got burned on all of them.
His completion percentage was 90%,
yeah,
I think, against the blitz last
week.
Yeah,
like, so he's not rattled by you bringing extra pressure. And those are the dangerous quarterbacks that welcome the – that was Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Bring an extra guy. You give me a clearer window to throw through versus it being a cloudier window because you got more guys in coverage. Yeah, you only blitz quarterbacks when you can confuse them.
Yep.
When they're not confused, the blitz doesn't work.
Like, he is a pocket passer,
yes,
that can also run really,
yes,
fast.
Yes, yes.
That's what makes him so
That's
tough.
What makes him – the absolute most dangerous. Like that's like Mahomes. Like Mahomes can run.
Yep.
But he doesn't run unless he has to run.
That's why I said he reminds me of the evolved Michael Vick, the Vick that we had during the MVP season, who could. You were scared to rush him because he could take off if he wanted to, but he became such a good passer, has such a strong arm, threw such a pretty ball, and that
but this kid's more accurate.
Like, well, he's also bigger too. He's also bigger.
We got to be smart. We got to be smart when we rush him. Like don't you don't go past a quarterback. You rush to his level and then you come back. It's the mush rush, and you bring. You know what the mush rush is there, Jack?
Yeah, let me know. So it's when.
It's like a half rush. It's not a full, all-out pass rush where you're doing everything you can to get there.
I was a big fan of that in Madden.
You more or less, you rush him, you get to his level, and you just hope to flush him to one of your guys.
Right.
Right? So you want to be able to do that and put more guys out in coverage. This really will be a great chess match between
Kingsbury and
Fangio. It will be a good chess match.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. It's actually very, very soon. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. What would you rather be heading into a playoff game, the better team or the hotter team? 70% at better team, 30% at hotter team. 215-592-9494. Dustin in the Northeast, you're on WIP. What's up, Dustin?
Spike, Spitzy, how you doing, fellas?
Ah, there he is.
Dustin!
Yeah. What's up, Dustin?
Hawk Tua over there.
Hawk
Tua Fritz.
How are you, fellas?
What's up, brother?
Living the dream, man, living the dream. Yeah, listen, Spike, what are you scared from last week? What scares you about this team? That you saw last week that scares you?
Truly? Well, the quarterback is playing like the best quarterback in the playoffs right now, best quarterback in the NFL. And they scored 45 points on the road in their third straight home game against a team that was 15-2. So, and here's the other thing I would say, and this doesn't speak to them being hot, but they have, Ike has brought this up a number of times. This Commanders team has no fear of the Philadelphia Eagles. No. They beat them the last time. And then the time before that, Daniels was hurt, and it was still a close game. I know the final score doesn't look super close, but that was a close game. So that's what has me. They are, and I would say this, I'm probably putting too much emphasis on how I felt the Eagles looked on Sunday, which I only thought they looked okay on Sunday. I felt like Jalen Carter made two big plays, but I felt lucky to get out of that with a win. So if you ask me what I'm nervous about, that is what I'm nervous about.
All right. Well, you made a couple points right there. And I'm with you, brother. I'm on your side. So I gotta go after Spike today. But listen, you said last week they put up 45 points, right?
Yes.
Against the team that has 14 defensive players that are on IR or injured right now.
Yep.
It's a full defense and some substitutes. They're hurting. That team shouldn't have been in first place.
They scored more points a game this year than we did, the Commanders.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're right.
So it's not like that was some anomaly on Saturday.
Let me ask you this. When they I'm going to put quotations around, they did beat us last time we played them. We were missing our starting quarterback. Was that game different when that's – now, granted, we should have won that game.
We scored 33 points, Dustin.
What, before Jalen went out, do you think they were on their way to a victory?
No, but we scored 33 points that game. We didn't lose that game. Kenny Pickett was not great in that game, but Kenny Pickett played fine. We didn't lose that game because Kenny
Pickett did enough to win.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett was not. We didn't lose that game because Kenny
Pickett
played
better. Devontae gets that ball on fourth down.
We win
the
game.
Game is over.
Yeah. So,
yeah, but see, that's getting to my point. What has you scared that they barely squeaked by a win? With Kenny Two Gloves, the guy can't grab a football. Everybody's saying, right? So how do they
put up 41 points in a start? Right? Didn't we score 41 against Dallas with Pickett? Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering correctly, I mean
he's fine. Before he came into the game and we had our all-star quarterback, I was supremely confident they were going to win that game.
He was one of four. Hold on. Just real quick, Dustin. It's not like Jalen was lighting the game up. We scored the touchdown that Jalen was in for that game was a Saquon run. Kenny Pickett had one of those as well. I agree with you. I think my gut tells me they probably win if Jalen's in the game. But again, it was Jaden Daniels, the guy who is still playing, is the reason we lost that game. The reason we lost that game is because Jaden Daniels dropped 22 points on us in the fourth quarter. This same team. Look, I'm not trying to talk you out of your thing, but you're asking me why I'm like where the worry comes from as far as them being hot. That these are the things. And I agree the Eagles are the better team. I agree with you 100%. But there's every once in a while you see a team that feels like they have something going on. And this Commanders team feels like they have something going on.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's like and I'm not knocking the Commanders. Like, if they weren't playing Eagles this week, I can't say I'd be rooting for them because I hate Josh Harris. That dude's the biggest loser of all time. But they do what the kid Jaden Daniels is doing is unbelievable. He's having a crazy year, but he's about to go up against the baddest defense in the land, and they're going. Mm-hmm. Jalen Carter is going to be in his grill, and he's going to be wishing he was back at Ohio.
Mm. I hope so.
At Ohio State.
Yeah, he played at LSU.
Yeah, LSU. I'm getting confused.
Had me confused for a minute there.
I'm listening to OG Wade explain this 4-point process to me earlier, and I'm like, I'm ready to drive off the road. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, we exposed the 4-point
system. I don't think he knows what he's talking about either, man.
And then Jack spits in with his finest. What a loser take on the 4. Ah, dude, it was great radio.
Jack spits in with his fire.
Yeah, so on this day, hold on, Dustin.
Back into a corner.
On this day in 1957, the first Frisbee was made. So we have, for next question today, we have Coheed and Cambria tickets. What was the best toy when you were a kid?
Dude, it's even better now because it made me laugh. Spitzy can't even make the sound. But there's Nerf footballs that you throw them in there, they go, shh.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Nerf balls. Oh, yeah.
He'll sound like he's in a motorboat back there. Love you guys.
This guy's a problem.
Yeah.
Just letting everyone know.
Yeah.
Manti Dustin.
Did you just get rid of Dustin, or did he get rid of himself?
Yeah, screw that guy. I mean,
you're lucky he doesn't call more.
Yeah, no. No, we're going to have a talk off the air.
Spitzy. Now, was he talking about the Nerf ball that had the little tail thing on the end?
Yes.
Because there was another one that had almost like grooves in it that I thought maybe made a noise too.
Yeah, grip it a little bit better.
Yeah.
See, I'm an original Nerf ball guy.
Yeah, of course.
I like the original Nerf ball, man. And Nerf balls were great when they first came out.
They're awesome.
Man, they were awesome.
Yeah, absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
So
we used to throw a Nerf ball around here a little bit.
Yep.
Oh, and then what happened, guys? What happened?
Well, we broke the thing.
One of the lights out there.
Yes, in the hub.
Yes.
During COVID.
Yes, it was during COVID. No one was here. No one was injured.
That's how you guys got lucky, because we were toughing it out at work, so you didn't get yelled at for
true,
it, because we
true
were the soldiers of WIP's COVID.
And we were putting on a show. I mean, it was...
It was supreme athleticism.
I mean, we were
out there
launching the Nerf ball around here. It took a while for us to break something.
It did. Yeah. It did. We went a long time before we actually. I tell you what, though, we didn't get yelled at, but when the big dog comes to you, he doesn't really have to yell.
Yep.
The fact that he knew what happened,
yep,
that put enough fear in both of us, yes.
That was it.
And by the way, I took the bullet. Jack, I left you out of it.
Yeah, he paid for it. Yeah. I was going to let it be broken. I don't
remember whose throw it was that actually broke it.
Oh, I think it was me.
Was it your throw?
Yeah,
wow.
It sailed a little bit.
It's big of you.
Yeah,
big of you to admit that.
Well, I couldn't
5 years
say
later.
Jack did it.
Could you imagine?
Right.
Sell Jack right out. So coming up next, there was an article today about Vic Fangio and what he has done within the Eagles organization that, if you haven't read it, we will give you the points and get Ike's thoughts on what the difference a defensive coordinator can make, not just with the defense, but with the entire attitude of the team. So that is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Hey, tomorrow, we never take the show on the road on Fridays during football season because we are... We've got to concentrate. But tomorrow we're going to be at the brand new McGurk's in Royersford.
Mm.
Come out, say hi. Going to have some special, I believe the shirt says Jeff over Josh. I believe those are T-shirts we're going to have to give away.
Jeff over Josh?
Yes, Jeffrey over Josh.
Oh, the owners.
Get it?
Yeah, now.
Get it?
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Get it?
First, I didn't know what we were talking about.
And McGurk's, you know, we've been to the one, obviously there's one in Horsham. We're the one in Fort Washington. Those were awesome. And this is a new one in Royersford. So we're going to be there on Friday, get you ready for the game. So please come out and join us. Rumor has it there might be a different WIP show there too.
A little earlier.
Yeah, we don't care. We mostly care about us. So come out and see us. Okay, before
Rod is happy about
well,
that.
Well, you know, it is what it is. So before we get to the Vic Fangio stuff, which is amazing, can I ask you guys a quick men's room question? Because I think this speaks to the mind
after the blue jersey
of the man. Yeah, none of that.
Oh, okay.
So, and this goes for it's not just our men's room. It's not just our men's room, but it's a lot of them. So ours, there's only one urinal and there's like four stalls. Mm-hmm. So when you go in there to go number one or whatever, and somebody's using the urinal, you go into the stall. Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed, and I'm curious if you guys do it, is that when guys go into the stall to go number one, they don't close the door all the way behind them. Right. They sort of leave it half open. Yeah. Is that how you do it?
Yes.
Jack, you the same way?
Yeah, that's how I do it.
So,
unless I'm at a stadium.
Okay.
Right. Here, I would do that here.
So is...
He's right. If I'm out somewhere, I probably wouldn't.
So I think it was 2 weeks ago. The problem with that is that you can't see if somebody's in there or not if you go in there. You have to almost look to see if somebody's in there. And what happened to me was I started going to one of them, and
somebody
I pushed the door, and
it
hit the guy in the back in the door.
Cow spike?
So here's my – I didn't blow it open.
I'm saying, did he spray all over himself?
No. Okay. He's okay.
All right.
But my question is the reason we don't close – because I've started to close the door now. Mm-hmm. But and this is just me. The reason that I've never closed the door is sort of like this ego thing where I'm like, I'm not just hiding in here because I don't want to use the urinal. It's just like, it's because the urinal is taken. Like, don't worry, I'll do it next to somebody if I got to.
Yeah,
that I was going deep into my mind being like, why didn't I close the door? And it was like this ego tough guy thing. It's like, man, if you see it, you see it. I'm not worried about it. I'm cool down there.
Okay. I hadn't thought about it that way. Yeah, that's not why I don't close the door. I think probably why I don't close the door is that I almost want somebody to know that I am in there.
But then you would close the door, right?
Yeah, you would think so, yeah.
Right? Because it's hard to tell.
I know. It's a guy thing, man.
Now, also, I'm a guy who comes in and I immediately look to the floor.
Right.
To make sure, like, okay, who's in here?
But it's harder to see. I'm not going to, like...
Well, if I see feet sitting there...
But standing, it's a little harder to see because they're closer to the toilet, right? Okay. And the feet aren't sticking out toward the door; they're facing the wall.
Right.
Jack, do you not close the door because like me, you're like, I don't gotta close the door. Somebody see, I'm only using the.
No, his
stall.
Is definitely not about being overconfident.
Well, he doesn't even watch. Being quick, yeah.
I also heard you. I was in one of the stalls the other day. I heard you not wash your hands.
I know. Yeah. Well, okay. Listen, it's my eighth. You know, whatever. Okay. By the end, I don't care. I got stuff to do.
All right.
But I've been better.
Hold on. No, that's not okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We're not going to just brush over. No, I get it.
No, the Eagles play this weekend. Yeah.
No.
I believe it was after the show, which is why I let it go.
Yeah,
where I would have come right back in here.
I know. He walked past, and I was like, "Did he hear it?"
Yeah,
and he heard it. Yeah. Okay, sue me. Well, one time I've been better about it. First off, there's no soap in that bathroom.
Yes,
so that's,
there is.
That's not right now.
Yes, there is in the middle one.
Well, easy. No, in our bathroom.
No.
Yes. No, you're talking about in the single bathroom.
Yeah, I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, single bathroom, there's no soap. Wash your hands. It's arguably the cleanest part of your body. You're such a little piggy.
Seriously.
Not a little piggy.
We actually touch each other, bro. Pause.
We don't touch each other. At least, like,
we give each other pound, like dap or what have you, man.
You're a little piggy.
Taking everybody to pound town, baby.
No,
don't try to turn it on me.
Please just start firing. Yeah. Where's It's My Show? Hit me with it. Bro, I made this show. Would you rather be the better team or the hotter team going into the playoff game? 215-592-9494. Mark in Delaware, you're on WIP.
God.
Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Mark?
I got Pigpen in there in the producer booth, man.
It's not me.
A little dirty little piggy in there.
You guys are children. Oink, oink, oink.
All right, Mark. I'm
all
sorry.
Right, sorry, Mark.
All right. So who's the child in the group here?
Well, he is. Jack.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, would you eat it? I mean, would you just get to your stupid Eagles point?
Come, oh, stupid Eagles.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. He's firing everybody
keep
now.
Going,
yes.
Keep going.
Yep. Yeah, back him into a corner.
Yeah. Well, how much more do you need? How much more do you need? 10-incher?
Ooh, that boy almost got a 10-incher.
Jesus Christ, that's how Jack is.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think the Eagles actually win big this weekend.
Really? There it is.
Why?
Like we've been talking, I mean, they're just a better team.
They are. They're not like a win big kind of team, it doesn't seem like. You know, even when it feels like we dominate, we somehow manage to be up one score in the fourth, you know? Win big, I would love. I don't think my anxiety can take another one score game in the fourth quarter, man.
Oh, I completely agree. And actually, I'm going to the game on Sunday. So, yeah, my heartbeat will be like beating incredibly.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
Next question today is because today's the first day ever that a Frisbee was created, 1957. What was your best toy when you were a kid?
So I took my original thing.
What was it? Hot Wheel?
Like the big wheel?
Oh, big wheel. Big wheel.
Big wheel.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a wiffle ball and a wiffle ball bat.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man. You kidding me?
It's an outside
head down to the park, man.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Now, thank you for the call, Mark. That's a good one. You remember it. Man, it feels like 100 years ago. The professional wiffle ball guys we played during Tour de Delco.
My shoulder just recovered like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you were trying to throw.
No, it was my other shoulder.
Yeah, it was your shoulder.
So,
yeah.
So hard. Yeah.
I had no shot of hitting one of those damn wiffle balls.
No
shot.
They were throwing at 90 miles an hour. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Next year I'm going to hit. I'm going to spend some time practicing. Did you ever? Sometimes I would move from a. I like the wiffle ball bat. I didn't like the wiffle ball. Occasionally we would move to a tennis ball, so you could hit the ball 100
further,
miles away.
Yes, I'm with you on that. Yeah. Yes.
We will get to this great Vic Fangio stuff right after I give you the great news about Colonial Hyundai. The new dealership is done. So you wouldn't believe how beautiful it is. So probably drive by Colonial. You saw it under construction for a while. They're working out of a sort of a temporary thing. Not anymore. The cars are John Ashdale, the team at Colonial, working hard to prepare the new state-of-the-art dealership, which will make everything was already faster, easier, and better at Colonial. Even better now. Buying, leasing, servicing, everything is better now. Effortless at Colonial to buy, trade, or upgrade. They're going to give you more for your trade than anyone else. I know you might be worried. You drove your current car into the ground. You're not going to get very much for your trade. You're going to get a guaranteed $6,500 no matter what condition it's in. Maybe you want a new Santa Fe. Maybe you want a Palisade. Maybe you want a Kona. Maybe you want a Tucson. They've got over 200 new vehicles in stock. Right now, limited time, drive home a new Hyundai Elantra SEL Sport for just $119 a month. Every new Hyundai, you're going to get a 3-year complimentary maintenance plan. You're going to get America's best warranty. Excuse me, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and Hyundai Assurance. Online 24/7. You can see what they have right there on the lot. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Well, in our last, what's it called, Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings, which happened yesterday, Tim McManus was number one. And boy, he just today, he keeps going. I don't know how anybody's going to catch him. He wrote an article today at ESPN.com about Vic Fangio and his impact on the Eagles organization. The headline is, "The mind of Eagles defensive coordinator Vic Fangio is where the defensive magic lives." Here's a great, great quote, Ike, from when he first met with the team when he got here. "It's not your fault that you don't work hard. You just don't know how. But that's going to change now that I am here." Mm. Fangio said, "People are not expecting as much out of players as we used to expect. The players are willing to work. I've never had an issue with that. And they're still willing to work. But we as the so-called adults in the room need to push them." It was Fangio that got Nick Sirianni to increase the number of practices, the length of practices. One player, unnamed, said that the practices were, quote, a lot more excruciating than they were before.
Wow. I mean, 58 minutes wasn't enough from the year before?
Yes.
He changed everything.
Dude, that is such music to my ears, what you just read.
Yep.
That is such music to my ears. Now, listen, I'd been hearing this stuff behind the scenes. I'd hinted at it throughout the year about Fangio being really the heavy in the building and being able to convince these guys, if we want to be a tough-minded football team, we want to be a team that's a good tackling team, never really had issues with being a good blocking team, but it really was about getting that defense up to the level that they got it to. They needed to practice this way, and he understood that. He understood he couldn't be out on the practice field for 45 minutes, 50 minutes, never wearing pads, and expect to have a good team. I love this article so much, I want to frame it. I want to frame it, and I want Elliot to read it every day. That's why I want ESP to read it every day. And this is me, Spike, patting myself on the back, because I argue with Elliot
all
for
the
years
time. Yep.
About physical practices in training camp and the benefit of them. And they not only took it from training camp, they've been wearing pads once a week all year long.
Well, and
all year long.
I've said a couple of times.
Which they had never done before, by the way.
This part is really interesting because I mentioned a few times, I was amazed that at the end of the Rams game, as cooked as I thought, and it looked like the defensive line was, Jalen Carter, who essentially has played every snap for 3 months.
Think about that.
Came up with two huge plays. So it says this, and this is the last thing I'll read because I thought this was really good. The Eagles added more practices to the training camp slate and upped the amount of padded practices in season while staying within the limits of the NFL and NFLPA rules. It helped prepare the group for a more demanding workload. No one more so than Jalen Carter, who snaps this year jumped from 563 to 831, including the playoffs. He is now at 919, second in the NFL to Zach Allen on the Broncos. And by the way, like, you know, they were probably on the field more, the Broncos. I would say percentage
of
snaps.
Yeah, it's not like the Eagles' defense is out there all game.
Yep. And here we go. He's played more snaps than all but one player on defense in the NFL, on the defensive line, and he was the guy at the end of the game making two giant plays after, by the way, they were just on the field.
Yep. A minute and a half ago.
Right.
They were just on the field 2 minutes ago.
It's just like there's so much, and we give Nick Sirianni a lot of credit for the culture, and what I also give credit for, this is Fangio, but Sirianni not too egotistical in the way he does things, enough to take suggestions like that.
Yeah.
But Fangio to come in and say, we got to change how we do this.
Yeah.
And they did it. It changed everything.
Let me throw something in there.
Yeah.
I don't even know how much Nick was opposed to this.
Right.
Nick just didn't have the cachet to get it done.
Right. And Fangio comes in here with that resume.
It's that upstairs.
Yep.
It's the science, the sports science, and the doctors and telling you about rest and getting guys off of their feet. That's what you're fighting against, right? What all the experts are telling them that they should listen to. And Nick just didn't have the cachet. No offense to Nick. I think this is something Nick wants, right? This guy grew up as a coach's kid. Right, so Nick knows about this whole idea of dog mentality, physicality. Those are things that he wanted to embrace, but they couldn't get it done in the other years, man. And it was Fangio coming in here, and it'll be interesting to see the results. The proof is in the pudding, so it's hard to argue against it if you were on the opposite end of this. It'll be interesting to see as we continue to move forward. Because the egos can get in the way,
right,
and this, that, and the other. So they're getting results out of it right now. And I think it's for the better. The players are, to me, not only are they more physically tougher, they're tougher minded to me. When they had issues, Spike, this year, they didn't crater. They didn't wilt. They fought through that stuff. They fought through all the adversity they had to this year.
Not just tougher, but more disciplined, because they play a more disciplined brand of defense.
Yep.
And when you talk about cachet that Fangio has, he has the cachet to say, I'm not playing Devin White. I don't care if he was your... He has the cachet to say, oh, I know that Bryce... Believe it or not, Saquon Barkley was not our biggest offseason acquisition from a cost standpoint. That was Bryce Huff.
Yep.
He has the cachet to say, in the playoffs, to say, I know Bryce Huff is your big guy. He's playing one snap.
I know he's making $17 million a year, no matter.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm playing Jalix Hunt, our fifth-round draft pick, who played at Houston Christian and Cornell and was a safety 3 years ago. But he's playing the way that is going to make this defense better.
Yes.
And I just hope... I hope Howie, because you're right about egos, and you need a healthy ego to do any of these jobs. You need to believe that what you think is right, but you also can't look at what is proven in front of you and think what you, Like, you have to be willing to say, I might have been wrong on that one.
Right.
And
it's okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because in the end, nobody is talking about, you know, talk about Howie. Nobody's talking about right now the Bryce Huff signing being a dud.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's talking about the fact that they released Devin White three games into the season. If they win and the results are good, then every move you made, good, bad, or indifferent, looks great.
Yep.
That even though they signed Zach Bond to be a extra linebacker and a special teams player,
right,
it doesn't matter. Howie still looks brilliant for signing Zach Bond.
Yep.
Because
he's going to get the credit for it.
Right.
Even though it was Vic Fangio.
Yeah, even though it was Fangio. So I thought the article was great.
It's a great article.
I thought this one was great. I thought the one on Sirianni last week was great. And it speaks to, it not only speaks to their play, but it speaks to the culture of the team that has been able to withstand the controversies that you talked about.
They're getting back to being an Eagles team.
And here's the other great part about that. Vic Fangio getting a chance to coach guys who aren't necessarily set in their ways, that are young guys, that are eager to learn, that are eager to, you know, be at their best. It reminds me of so much of where we were when Jim Johnson came in. Like, Jim was hard, man. He was tough on everybody, but it made us a better team. It made us better players.
So the only worry is they need to be able to keep that. Because
I agree. Once you establish the culture, it's the standard. So that's what I like about some of these players, like Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, you know, even Zach Bond, who's going to be here for the next few years, but the Kobe Dean, like these young guys, it's all they're going to know. When he was coaching in Miami, those older guys were like, man, who is this old dude coming here trying to tell us what to do? They didn't like it. You get these young guys. They're unassuming. They're like, man, teach us, coach us. We're tired of, you know, what happened last year. They were the worst defense in the league last year. So nobody has any room to say anything. I mean, Jalen Carter is the biggest example of this, man. This kid coming out with the reputation of not having a great work ethic or seemingly unmotivated at times, to be out there playing every snap as a D tackle for like the last 10 games, 12 games, man, like he's the biggest example of it, and he's the leader of that defense moving forward. It's his defense. I heard Brandon say this. Brandon's like, it's your defense now, JC. This is yours. Like, this is your defense. We're going to go as you go.
Well, now, did you slip in an Eagles Insider of the Year report there where you said Bond's going to be here for the next couple of years? Are you trying to take credit for that?
I am not. No, Howie, basically.
I know. Next week is like going to be, hold on. Yeah. You know, I said this.
Well, listen, you guys don't give me credit for anything.
We never do.
Yeah,
no.
So it's okay. It's okay. I don't even want Insider of the Year.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I recuse myself.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I didn't say I recuse myself.
Yeah.
This guy. JT and Langhorne.
I haven't even been close to the top five in months.
It has been a while. JT and Langhorne, you're on WIP.
What's going on, brother? Happy Thursday.
What's up, JT?
I'm excited, man. We the better team, not the hotter team.
Well, we are the better team. I don't know that we're the hotter team. You'd rather be the better team.
I agree. I'm better, not hotter.
Okay.
I'm excited, man. I've been dying to get on all week. I ain't going to start the whole quarterback stuff with you, Spike.
I'll start it.
Go get him, Mike. Give
me some Ike juice. Let's go, Jack. Wake up in there.
They must have been drinking that Ike juice.
I think I'm in a good place with the quarterback thing, JT. Be honest with you.
He's a good quarterback. I'm agreeing with Seth. I like what Kelsey said this morning. I don't know why he's backtracking it now. He said we got the better roster player for player. I don't know why he's backtracking.
Because he's wrong. Because he was wrong. But that's okay.
Well, and he also read his mentions.
Yeah. It's okay. You know what?
Yeah, when that gets tweeted out, yeah, then you start reading the mentions. You're like, hold on.
Well, here's what I always do the NBA thing. But the finals last year, I think we would all agree that Luka Doncic was probably the best player on the court. You know, but they didn't win the finals.
Yep.
The Celtics won the finals because they have a better, deeper team. So whether Jaden Daniels is better than Jalen Hurts like today and a year from now, it actually doesn't totally matter. What matters on Sunday is whether the Eagles team is good enough to beat the Commanders team. We're not always going to have the better player at every position in every game that we play. You know what I mean? But we beat the Bengals earlier this year, even though Joe Burrow is a quarterback. So it is. Jaden Daniels is a great player. We don't have to have the best, you know, and they've proved that so far. I just hope they prove it for two more games.
Hey, Ike, let me ask you a question, because me and Buddy and I was arguing about this. Who would you say is the best defensive player that had the best defensive player impact on the defense this year?
For the Eagles?
Yeah.
Ooh, it's got to be between two guys. It's got to be between Zach Bond and Jalen Carter.
Right.
Agree. That's the argument.
I don't know where to go with it. I know who's the better overall player with the higher ceiling, but Zach Bond has been pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, but to me, he does none of that without Jalen Carter on the floor.
I agree with that. I agree with that. I certainly do.
Well, I mean, and we saw when Fletcher was here, it means so much, the attention that Jalen Carter gets creates so much for the edge guys, so much for Milton Williams, so much for Jordan Davis. So
I totally agree with you. I would say Jalen Carter, but, I mean, Zach Bond is first-team All-Pro.
They robbed Carter, bro.
I agree. Yeah. I can't believe they put Cam Hayward there at first team All Pro.
That's crazy. Pittsburgh defense is trash all year. What impact did he have on that defense?
But if you want to know who's the best player on the team, on the defense, JT, is Jalen Carter. That's without question.
Yeah, JT, for next question today, you say give us the best toy when you were a kid.
I know somebody probably said a bunch of them already had, so I'm going to go to my young elementary school days, the Super Soaker water gun.
That's
an awesome toy still today.
Yeah, that's a good one, JT.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was the biggest toy in the world like 2 years, Super Soaker. Having a Super Soaker. People would bring them everywhere.
I got a toy in mind that I'm thinking of that I would pick as the winner at the end of the day.
Okay.
I'm waiting until hear it.
Okay.
Yes.
See if somebody hears it.
Yes.
All right, Mike Mayock going to join us next, help us break down the game. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.